Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm happy to have every one of you joining in today. I'm excited about the opportunity to bring the word of His grace to every one of you students of the academy. If you can hear me clearly, just indicate you can hear me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's just pray together. I'm glad everybody can hear me. Lord, we rejoice and we thank you for the privilege of coming again today to fellowship in the Word, in the light. Your Word says when we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the privilege of walking in the light, fellowshipping in the light, feasting in the light. And in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare today that revelation knowledge flows freely right now. Burdens and yokes are destroyed. Insight and the ability to see into the mind of God is released upon every student of this academy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the blessing. Thank you, Lord, for grace. In Jesus' precious name, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. All right, I'm glad everybody can hear and everybody is ready. Today we're going to go straight into the things we started sharing last week. One of the critical points in leadership is how you handle your own errors. One of the critical points in leadership is how you handle your own errors. Can you hear me? Anybody who can't hear me, I have to check your devices because I know that my audio from here, my network, everything from here is perfect. Alright, so anybody who can't hear has to check your device and be sure of your device. One of the critical points in leadership is how you handle your own errors. You will make mistakes and experience moments of indiscretions. And this can be a lesson for you and others or otherwise, especially where it has to do with the ministry. Scriptures teach us to learn of and from these. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 to 13. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Sin remains sin under the two dispensations. Sin is sin under the law, and sin is sin under grace. Never mind some excited people who just, you know, get drunk sometimes with lack of adequate knowledge, and they go around saying there's nothing like sin, there's no more sin. I'm sure in the 30 days of glory, I took time to address that. Now let's move in. David was a man after God's heart. And we took time to begin to deal with David, lessons from Brother David last week. David was a man after God's heart. Hitherto, we learned of his faithfulness. He learned to keep few sheep, and thus could keep God's sheep, which is Israel. Faithfulness in little makes you a ruler over much. Faithfulness in little makes you a ruler over much. Faithfulness in another man's gives you your own. Faithfulness in another man's gives you your own. Jesus taught that in the book of Luke. Alright? And if you are not faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to you through riches? Those are principles Jesus communicated in the book of Luke. Number one, faithfulness in little makes you a ruler over much. Number two, if you are faithful in another man's, you will have your own. Number three, if you are not faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit unto you through riches? So like I said, David was a man after God's heart. But this does not immune him from temptations and errors. This does not immune him from temptation and errors. So let us see a typical one. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Most indiscretions occur during our layabout moments, relaxing, surfing the net from what we see and read. The title of today's lecture is a continuation of last week's lecture, Lessons from David. Lessons from David. And this is the second part, which is week 10. Lessons from David. The second part, which is week 10. Most indiscretions occur during our layabout moments, relaxing, surfing the net from what we see and read, etc. When you are careless with your eyes and ears, you caught sin. You caught sin. David followed up with series of actions. Let us keep the motions. Our lessons are weightier and more important than his motions here. As soon as David had all that experience, Prophet Nathan entered in 2 Samuel 12:7. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 7. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." So Nathan judged him. Alright? A similar incident had happened to his predecessor. It will be of good note to compare. 1 Samuel 15, 13 to 15. 1 Samuel 15, 13 to 15. And Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Verse 14. And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Verse 15. And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Saul lied. He did what today we call packaging. Packaging. His media team worked a good show to rebrand and repackage the act. There is yet more, because in 1 Samuel 15:19, Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? God does not do rebranding, and God does not care about your repackaging. Even after the prophet Samuel pointed it out to him, he kept trying to rebrand and repackage. Quick check. Let's do a quick check. While Samuel ordained Saul, Nathan didn't ordain David. So really, Saul should have been in better difference than David, but not so for haughty personalities. As soon as they are on air, you see, people that are haughty, as soon as they are on air and they become popular, they have seen some miracles and they seem to have some crowds respond to them. They despise everybody who made their journey so. Suddenly, self comes on the scene. Suddenly, it is mine, ours, mine. Recall, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1, Saul literally hung on to Samuel's words. 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 10 from verse 1 to 11. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?' Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three young men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come hither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, and a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Verse 8. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so, that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. 10. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, "What is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Is Saul also among the prophets? Many waters had passed under the bridge. This guy is now a God's general, Saul. He had become an apostle. He now was popular. Maybe if it was in today's day, he had thousands of people following him on Facebook. He's on YouTube. He's on satellite TV. He's on terrestrial TV. So the question would be, who is Samuel? God merely used him. God could have used another person. That is how we sound, humans, when we become too big in our own eyes. We become too big. We can't listen to anybody anymore. You know, and I've seen this happen over and over in ministry, even with some people who looked up to me years gone by as a father. Suddenly, I taught them how to pray, taught them how to study the Bible, taught them how to preach, taught them literally everything. And suddenly they grow and they're too big. Nobody can talk to them anymore. They don't even recognize that I was the one who raised them up literally and taught them. Now they've grown to where they know everything. Nobody can talk to them anymore. And when you hear them preach, you wonder what they are preaching, because obviously they have not understood the gospel. They sound like they know what they are preaching, but they really don't know what they are preaching. But they feel, because they've gotten some popularity, they've gotten some, you know, followership or following, they are popular, they have some platforms where they can make noise, they think they are too big. But let us revisit the text again. Two more takeaways from the text. 1 Samuel 15, 24 to 26. 1 Samuel 15, 24 to 26. And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Verse 25. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. He, Saul, succumbs eventually, but not in sincerity. He only did because he could see Samuel had greater insight to the fact. As said in verse 22, to obey is better than speaking in tongues, in my own words. To obey is better than sacrifice or than speaking in tongues. Now, let us examine David. 2 Samuel 12:13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. That was all he said. No rebranding, no press release, no trying to quickly hold a program to cover up. He just accepted plain, as compared to the case of Saul. Many times, saying nothing is wiser and sincerer. Many times, saying nothing is wiser and sincerer. David saw through this. Now, let's see the more critical details. 2 Samuel 12:16. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth, and the elders of his house arose. Verse 17. The elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. David sought God. All his ministry team members were not oblivious of his error. His error did not make him less in their sights. God does this for us. I hear some preachers boast around like, I do not make mistakes. I have always been working perfectly in life and ministry. You know, sometimes you even hear some say, my wife and I, we have never had a misunderstanding once. Some of them, you hear them say, I have never made a mistake. These are mere Hollywood stunts. When the cookie crumbles, as always, they now run to media cover-up. You are entitled to God's and our forgiveness. There is no need to act superficial. So now let's read what Saul said in 1 Samuel 15:30. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee. I hope you're hearing that kind of prayer. I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So his problem was public image. His problem was, what will people say? How will people look at me? What will happen to my ratings? You know, how will people begin to see me now? He was more worried about public image than his relationship with God. He was more worried about his ratings with the public than his relationship with God. Okay, I agree. Number one, he said, this is what he said, I am rejected, but let us appear together on the pulpit. Let us prophesy together. Let them still see me as anointed. That's what Samuel said in essence in that prayer. Listen to what he said again in 1 Samuel 15:30. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. when the power is off the domestic fans, we now try to get the air to artificially make it work. And so many young ministers are repeating this error so early. You know, it gets to my heart as I travel all over the world. And some of them, you even wonder what has happened to their conscience, what has happened to their heart. Their ministries rely on media branding, false miracles, false testimonies. There are ministers who arrange miracles. You know, they have a full school where they train people to act miracles, to act walking out of wheelchairs, to act blindness and deafness and dumbness. There are ministers who do this, not just in Nigeria, around the world. They just falsify miracles and use it to multiply the crowd. And the gullible people who are looking for miracles, when they see those falsified, they get excited. And they go all over the place, feeling that these men are great men of God. Feeling that these people are wonderful men of God. Some of them, they falsify word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And they call it prophetic nonsense. You know, they do counseling, they get people's data and information. Or they send their boys ahead of time to come to the church, come to the city, mingle with the members and garner reports and get information, data, and they give it to the so-called man of God. And when he comes, he will be acting as if he has been with God all his life, and he will just be speaking and giving them details, even details that don't even, they are not scripturally sound. And everybody gets flabbergasted. People feel like, this man is a great man of God, he's a mighty man of God. Let us just make it appear like it is working. Rather than seek God, we seek men's attention and we seek men's approval, which is stupidity. Because one day, the chicken will come home to roast. Craving for limelight has become the pastime of many younger folks, learning the errors of the older ones, but not from it. So many young ministers all over the world, as I look around, all they want is the fame, the popularity, they want the money, they want, you know, the crowd, and they just feel if they have that, they are fine. David was a sincere man. No wonder the Bible calls him a man after God's heart. He was a sincere man. Unlike Saul. Saul was a hypocrite. David was honest. The moment his error was put before his face, he admitted and humbled himself and went to seek God. Saul was still asking for, let's go together. Let us, you know, honor me before the people. Paul teaches the importance of sincerity in ministry. Every one of you in the academy, this is so important. You cannot compromise the place of sincerity in ministry. Is so important. When you hang around ministers who are insincere, you should be smart enough to know that that company is not your company. Except you don't want to preach the gospel of Christ. You don't want to be honest about Christ. You cannot compromise the place of sincerity in ministry. Wrong is wrong, right is right, no matter who is involved. Wrong is wrong, right is right, no matter who is involved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. Brother Paul will say, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There are people who handle the word of God deceitfully, and that is how they get gullible people to fall for it. They are deceitful. But they use the word of God as a brand, as a packaging for their deceit. But Brother Paul said, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. No dishonesty, no half-truths, no deceit. No dishonesty, no half-truths, no deceit. Handle the ministry in truth. It is more appalling that some like sycophants, those who help you with these lies. Some people surround themselves with deceitful people. Everybody around them celebrates them. They do not want to go close to anybody who will tell them the truth. They like the flattery. You know, they like people tell them you're nobody like you. You're number one. You're the greatest man of God on the planet. And they know it is not true. We must not be found in that trap. Every one of you in this academy, we are raising an army of people that will rewrite the wrongs of the past. We cannot be different if we are still repeating the same thing the fathers have repeated that today we are correcting. Paul used the word we. Notice, he used the word we. Ensure you do not build a team of liars. Ensure you do not build a team of liars. Ministers of the gospel, upcoming ministers, those of us in ministry or whatever type of ministry, whether we are in an under position or we're general overseers or we're dreaming to become ministers tomorrow, ensure you do not build a team of liars and co-liars. A young ministry must be careful with accolades. I learned this early, that both praises and criticisms are a distraction. Both praises and criticisms are a distraction. If you are running in a race and somebody says, wonderful, you are the best runner, and then you leave the race and go out and give the person a handshake and say, thank you, you've spoken well of me. By the time you come back to the race, you have lost that race. If you're running in a race and somebody says, look at your K-leg, look at you, you're running funny, you're not even smart, and you jump out of the race and you go and fight the person, by the time you come back, you have lost the race. Both praises and criticisms, they are a distraction. They are a distraction. Kenneth E. Hagin will say, be dead to the praises of men. Be dead to the praises of men. David Yonggi Cho reiterated this. David Yonggi Cho, the praises of men, he said, are like chewing gum. You chew, but never swallow it. Chew it, but never swallow it. When we cut praises and rely on media and people's applause, we often forget God and the men he uses for us. Hence, when we go wrong, for us, PR is the more important. I remember, and I'm sorry to use a name, but all of you know the story, so it's nothing new. When Brother Benny Hinn divorced his wife Susan, and then he had a partners meeting, and then he said to the partners, oh, I have decided to remain faithful to you guys. I have decided, even though my marriage is having issues, I will just be loyal and committed to you people. And he was just saying things like that as if it's not somebody who's had a very serious issue. And then suddenly the partners began to withdraw their commitment. And I was privileged to go to Orange County in California to preach for Brother Benny Hinn. And I remembered right where we were sitting there, and he looked at me and he said, Dr. Damina, I never knew that a global ministry of this magnitude, my ministry, the level it had gone globally, I never knew that just a little thing like divorcing my wife will crash the ministry. He said, I saw my ministry crumbling literally before my eyes. All partners withdrew. We could no more pay bills. We could no more do crusades. We could no more do healing meetings. Everything was falling off so fast. Everybody left. He said, when I saw that the ministry was almost closing down, I ran back to go to Susan, apologized, and restored my marriage. And he says, since then, we are beginning to recover. This is from Benihin. He told me this personally. Why? Because you don't rely on the praises of men. Your relationship with God is of the uttermost. You must be dead to praises and criticism. No man that worried entangled himself with the fears of this world, so he can please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. No man that worried entangled with civilian affairs. Why? Because he that striveth must strive lawfully. He that striveth must strive lawfully, so that at the end he can get the reward. Brother Paul will say it like this: I put my body under, that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be a cast away. These are very important things you must keep in your heart. These are important things you must hide somewhere in your heart. You may not hear these teachings in pulpits. You may not have books written on this subject. But these are things that must stay with you for life. The things you are hearing me share with you. They are the things that make men last and last and last and last and last in the ministry, preaching and preaching and preaching from strength to strength. Now, earlier on, David experienced this temptation. In 1 Samuel 18 verse 6, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul. Singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments. With instruments of music. Verse 7, and the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Don't mind them. David killed Goliath, not thousands. That is people for you. They will overblow your results. They will exaggerate your results. Do not take the poison chalice. It is a bait. Remain your sincere self. Please listen carefully. If your note was my note, I will write this out in bold letters. Maintain your innocence and simplicity. Maintain your innocence and simplicity. No matter how you grow in Christ, no matter how much you grow in ministry, no matter how great you become tomorrow, don't forget these words. Maintain your innocence and simplicity. Do not forget, you are just a man. You are just a man. Paul went through the same, Brother Paul, in Acts 14:11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Imagine a miracle made possible by God's power only. By God's power only. Yet many will call you Apostle of the last days, Paul of our time, Peter number one, Paul senior, the messenger of the covenant, junior Jesus. They will call all kinds of names. Look at the way Brother Paul responded quickly in verse 15, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you. The term passion means desires. It means weakness. We are men of like passions. We are men like you. We have desires. We have weakness. Stop the nonsense before it stops you. Admit you are human. Admit you can be wrong. And when you are wrong, admit it. Admit you are human. Admit you can be wrong. And when you are wrong, admit it. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19, Brother Paul will say, holding faith and a good conscience. Faith and a good conscience. Very important. Faith and a good conscience. Some ministers, their consciences are seared. Nothing touches them anymore. Nothing moves them. And you can see it in their actions. You can see it in the kind of ministry they package. You can see it in the arrogance around them. But Brother Paul said, holding faith. You know how to hold something? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. When you put away concerning faith and a good conscience, you become a shipwrecked minister. Your ministry becomes shipwrecked. It will be wrecked. That's why Brother Paul says, holding faith, holding it, and a good conscience. Faith and a good conscience. Every one of us, ministers of Christ, ministers of the gospel, men and women that has been raised by God to reintroduce Jesus to this generation, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Let every one of you take a cue from David, even in Christ Jesus today. A good conscience, a heart that responds to correction and is dead to adulation and men's exaltation. A good conscience is a heart that responds to correction and is dead to adulation. A good conscience is a heart that responds to correction and is dead to adulation and men's exaltation. A good conscience. Friends, let us be simple. Let us be contrite. And let us maintain our innocence. Let us be simple. Let us be contrite. And let us maintain our innocence. Sometimes the temptation is when you are simple, people try to want to ride over you. You know, it happens to me most of the time. People come across me and they just see how simple I am and they think I'm stupid at the same time. But the fact that I'm simple doesn't mean I'm stupid. I'm only simple because I realize that I am only what I am by the grace of God. I'm not simple because I am stupid. Simple is different from being stupid. I'm simple because I simply acknowledge that I am what I am by the grace of God. I go to places to preach and people say to me, you just came simple. You're not full of protocol, policemen everywhere. You know, everybody's struggling and finding it difficult to reach you. And I say to people, when Jesus walked the face of the earth, anybody could reach him. Even a woman with the issue of blood could touch his garment. Little children came to him and he didn't drive them away. He received them. We are who we are because of Christ. We are who we are because of the grace of God. If not for Jesus, where will you be? And then sometimes also there are people who take advantage of our simplicity and they try to abuse it. But you see, when you try to abuse the simplicity of a man of God, it is called dishonor. When you dishonor a man of God, three things will happen to you. Three things. Please take note of this. When you dishonor a man of God, three things will happen to you. Number one, the blessing he brings goes with him. You never get it. That's why Jesus said, when they don't receive you in a city, shake the dust off. That means take your blessing back. So the blessing he brought goes back to him. Number two, the impact, if it was healing or revelation knowledge or spiritual growth he brought, it will not affect you. You are not affected. You are not impacted. There's no impartation. All right? Nothing positive happens in your direction. And then number three, you remain the same. You just remain the same. Sometimes you find that people are with a man of God, nothing changes. They don't grow. They don't understand what he's teaching. You look at them, they look far different from the man of God. Why? They are not living a life of honor. If you do not honor the gift of God, look at what Jesus said to the woman at the well. If only you knew the gift of God and who it is that has asked you for water, you will have given me your ordinary water. I will have given you living water and you will never thirst again. She lacked discernment, and because she lacked discernment, she operated in dishonor. Because she lacked discernment, she operated in dishonor. Over the years, I've discovered the higher God takes people, the simpler they become. The higher people go in grace, the higher people grow in the knowledge of Christ, the simpler they become. When you find people who are too complicated, who feel too important, too full of themselves, they have not seen Christ. They are far from Christ. They have not understood Christ. The more of Christ you see, the simpler you get. All of a sudden, it dawns on you that I am not anything. I am only what I am because of Christ. I am only who I am because of Christ. But if people take advantage of that, Jesus said, "He that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth my Father that sent me. He that receiveth me, receiveth my Father that sent me." So when you disdain a man of God because he's simple, he didn't come in a Lamborghini, he didn't wear expensive suits, but that man is full of grace, but you took advantage of his simplicity and you look down on him, you have deprived yourself the blessing he carries. You remain the same and nothing changes. And that is why the higher we go in Christ, the meek we become, the simpler we get, the more approachable we are. We are not anything to think anything of ourselves. Brother Paul will say, our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. We are not anything to think anything of ourselves. We are who we are because of Christ. Once you realize that you are who you are because of Jesus, it changes all the demographics. You know, because if it is about him, then it's not about us. If it is about us, then it is not about him. Brother Paul says, "It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Praise God. Let us be simple. Every one of us in this academy, let us be simple. Let us be contrite. And let us maintain our innocence. Thank you, Father. I want to pray for all of you today. Father, I pray for every student of this academy. I thank you for grace that abounds towards every one of them. Grace that abounds towards every one of them. Legosh kato le de brina kele de maha. Nengro skotola da bambro lo brani kalado bira kata nengkalida boro koska pali nengarina kata nangle de bruja krataka eliba korotu supari na kitele di bara katana nenglinao shikabayoto. Egrida supra nambro do sukara da giga gaga. I decree that you're growing in knowledge, you're growing in grace, and I decree that you're growing in the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, patience, lagushka, morukas, meriga, dagila, lokura, melita, morukas, kotora, that you come to a place of acknowledging who you are in Christ, into the fullness of your identity, where self-consciousness is gone, inferiority complex is gone, and every form of complexity is gone, where we decrease and Jesus alone increases. It's not about us, but about Christ and him crucified. About Christ and him crucified in our daily walk, in our ministry walk, in our relationship with people. Not about us, but about Christ. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every contrary hold. I rebuke every voice of the enemy. I rebuke every accusation of the devil. I silence every hold of darkness. I rebuke the spirit of pride. The spirit of pride, I rebuke you, haughty spirit. I silence you in the name of Jesus. The scripture tells us, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he guide in the way that he shall choose. La barakatonaba. He resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Rapita la da baba. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due season. Rabita morokos kapura katana. An army of ministers are rising across the board, all over the continents of the world, beginning from this academy. Lord, I pray for every student of this academy, that grace abound towards them, that they are becoming men and women that will stand on the platform in the horizon and make Jesus known and Jesus alone. Thank you, Father, for grace and mercy. Thank you for the blessing. I speak the peace, the joy, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost upon you. It is well with you today. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right. Just before I answer any questions you may have, take down the assignments for the week. The assignments for this week. Questions for the assignment for this week is number one. Compare David and Saul's responses when they were corrected and how it should relate with you. What do both attitudes convey? Compare David and Saul's responses when they were corrected and how it should relate with you. What do both attitudes convey? That's the first question for the assignment. I have three questions. Number one, compare David and Saul's responses when they were corrected and how it should relate to you. What do both attitudes convey? Number two question, what should my response be to praises, accolades of men in the light of this teaching? What should my response be to the praises, accolades of men in the light of this teaching? Making reference to the men in the instances cited. What should my response be to praises and accolades of men in the light of this teaching? Making reference to the men in the instances cited. What should my response be to praises, accolades of men in the light of this teaching? Making reference to the men in the instances cited. Number three, how did Paul address hypocrisy in comparison to the text we read in the Old Testament book? How did Paul address hypocrisy in comparison to the text we read in the Old Testament books? Old Testament book. Compare both. How did Paul address hypocrisy in comparison to the texts we read in the Old Testament book? Compare both. Those are the three assignments to be turned in by Wednesday midnight. Like I told you, we're already marking the assignments, and in a short while I'll start sending you your scripts back with comments and with scores. Again, I go through the three questions. Compare David's and Saul's response when they were corrected and how it should relate with you. What do both attitudes convey? Number two, what should my response be to praises and accolades of men in the light of this teaching, making reference to the men in the instances cited? Number three, how did Paul address hypocrisy in comparison to the texts we read in the Old Testament book? Compare both.